Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome you to Word Sex and Radio, and I'm your host, Red Snapper, and we're doing it to you like we always do every Monday, 8 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time, and this is the sounds of Miss Condition, Believe in Us, off that new LP that's out now, and we're going to be coming at you tonight with this, as we always do. We got some guests that's going to be coming on this evening, and we're going to have them introduce themselves, and they're going to be bringing you some erotic poetry, so I want you to sit back and relax as we bring you Word Sex and Radio. I'm your host, Red Snapper, and this is it. We're doing it like we always do. This is our show for the seating for October 29th, 2012, and we got it going on tonight. We've got some guests that's going to be on the show, and they're going to bring it to you. I'm going to let them introduce themselves to you. I'm not even going to tell you who it is. We're going to do it like that, and they're going to bring that erotic poetry to you just like it is. So let's sit back and get ready for that. Before we do it, let me make sure I got my boy on here if he's on the line. DB there.
Yeah, it's me. What's up, black man?
Hey, how you doing, brother? How's it going down there in that hot Texas? Is it still hot or is it cooling off down there?
Man, it's cooling off, but, you know, it's not as bad as it is on the East Coast from what I hear.
Yeah, I know. And I've been keeping up with it because I got some family up there, and I'm trying to make sure that they're doing okay, and it looks like it's not too bad, but it's bad enough, you know. So we want to give a shout-out to those that are out there on that side of the country, and hopefully everything is okay and that you are doing just fine. So, we had a good time. Before we get into our guests, I just want to say we had a good time this weekend just passed. The brothers of Alpha Phi Fraternity Incorporated definitely had a big Halloween ice cream Halloween party that was successful. I mean, it was so much ass walking around that motherfucker. Man, I'm going to tell you, it was really nice. I've seen all kinds of stuff, man. You know, people, it's amazing what women would do, you know, for Halloween, man, how they would dress up and the things they turn out to be. That should be looking sexy, though, I have to say. What you think,
man? You know how it is, man. When you hit up a conclave or, you know, anything like that, it's always crazy. Because, let's be honest, you know, frat and sorority, we know how to get down. But when it comes to, you know, the women... Oh my God! You know they take it to another level. They really do.
And you know they do. So, well, without further ado, what we're going to do is I think we got one of our guests on the show, and I'm going to bring him on right now, and we're going to have him introduce himself. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from. That would be you, 225.
My name is DeMarcus Glasper, calling from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
How you doing, my brother from the big L.A.? How's it going down there?
Doing pretty good, man. Weather's starting
to cool
down.
We're glad to have you on the show. Yeah, it's cooling down there. Oh, it actually cools down in Louisiana?
Yeah.
Shit.
For the first time. It's gotten under 80 for the first time this year.
Wow. You know, I got family in Lake Charles, and I know how it is down there. Before we let you get to even going, man, I got to say, tell me if the women in Louisiana are still like they used to be now. Well, I was down there in the mid-80s, okay? And that was the last time I actually was down there on extended stay, because I've been down there since. But it seemed like, man, when all you had to do is blow air on one of them women down there, and their pants are coming off. Is that still like that, brother?
Oh, man. I don't know.
You're like, no.
I mean, all you have to do is go, and then there you know, you're getting some pussy. I mean, that's how it used to be, so it's not like that no more? Okay. You know, I gotta break the monotony. Well, let me let you know, this is Word Sexy Radio. Just in case you didn't know what you were getting yourself into, we talk shit. So if you can't handle that, then I'm sorry. But, brother, we want you to go ahead on and we know that you are a poet. And we want you to go ahead and kind of give us a background of yourself. Tell everybody who you are and how you got into the game and where you're trying to go with it.
All right. Well, I've been writing since I was 12, 13 years old. Again, my name is DeMarcus Glasper. I'm from Baton Rouge. I've been writing since I was 12, 13 years old. I really used to just kind of write for fun. And people used to love my writing so much, and they encouraged me, you know, to kind of start doing it for more than fun, you know. Because I really feel like I have messages that I need to get out to people. So that's kind of why I do what I do, you know.
Okay, so it's like a relieving thing for you.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a
kind of like an orgasm type relief, or what type of relief?
Oh, it's just you can describe it like that. I mean,
your girl did tell you that this is Word Sexy Radio, right? She told you that, right?
No, she didn't. She didn't. She didn't tell me. So, you know, caught off guard, but, you know.
But you can handle it, though.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Well, we got some people in the chat room. We want to recognize them as well. All those that are in the chat room, you know, you got your questions, you go ahead and bring them. We're going to bring it out, and we'll ask and let it be known. So just whatever you got to do. Okay, so all I want you to do right now, brother, is take a deep breath and just be yourself. That's all we ask you to do.
All righty.
Okay, so you've been writing since you were 13. What kind of stuff have you been writing? Have you been writing all types of poetry, or do you write other things besides poetry?
I write poetry. I write short stories. My poetry, I do everything from, you know, classical poetry to prose. I have, you know, my more family friendly stuff in the book, and then or my more everybody type universal stuff in the book, and then I also have a blog which is a little bit more adult. So
okay, now you know you can be who you are, and what I mean by that, I have to sometimes I get guests on here, they don't get it. You don't have to cuss, but if you do, if that's part of you, go on and do that shit, because it's okay. Now, before we go any further, I got this 773 number. I hope that's my girl. Miss Cotton, is that you?
It is. I am here.
How are you doing, Miss Sexy?
I'm great. How are you, Red Sexy?
Well, you know, we got, and that's my new name I was given the other day when I did an interview. I was called Red Sexy, so I guess I'm going to be using that now. But we're glad to have you here, Ms. Cotton, and I want you to say hello to our poet that's here this evening, Mr. I don't want to say his name wrong, so I'm going to let him say it again.
DeMarcus Glasper.
See, that's it. See, he's the only one that can say it right.
Not that hard, man.
It's like Red Snapper, you know. So go ahead. You got any questions for the poet? Since you are a poet yourself, Miss Cotton, I would like for you to kind of conduct some questions to him.
Well, I would like to know, and I'm just getting on, so I don't know if you've already talked about this, what motivates you to actually write? Like, what's your writing? What opens up the door to writing for you?
Well, because I'm so diverse in what I write, everything I write to touch someone in some type of way. So whether it be if I'm just educating someone or if I'm touching them, you know, somewhere emotionally or if I'm touching them somewhere, you know, sexually. So I just want to make sure that everything that I write touches someone. Because I feel like as an author, when people read, I feel like they need to get something out of it.
Okay.
So
I'm not familiar with your work, unfortunately. I apologize for that. So what's your writing style? You write about love? Is it life experiences? Or is it, what is it? Because a lot of poets have a different type of thing focus on more than the other.
Well, let me say this before he answers the question. You didn't get this, Cotton, but he said that he has explosive orgasm type release when he does his poetry. So I don't know if it's all erotica or what it is, but I'm letting you know right now that's where he came. So we're gonna see what's up. And we got the other brother. Yeah, go ahead with that. I'm gonna let the other brother come in while you're answering that question. Go ahead.
Well, the first book that I released this year, The Fall and the Rise of a Black Man in Love, that book is more based on love. That's what the focus of that book is, and it kind of chronicles, you know, the male love story from the not caring about women really type thing, you know, to the just want to sleep with them, just want to sleep around, to the actually falling in love, being hurt, feeling from it, moving on from that experience. But like I said, that's not the only type of writing I do, but the book was a themed book. So that's really, unless you go to my blog, that's really the only work that you have available to read for me.
Okay. Well, before we let y'all start reading, I want to get the other poet, your compadre, I want to get him in, and 313 number, he's on now. I would like for him to kind of introduce himself and tell us where he's from and how he got into the literary game.
I'm Cortez Cheeks. I'm from Detroit, Michigan. I'm the author of Mind's Chaotic Episodes and Stages. And I really just started writing from the inspiration of my aunt. You know, she seen something in me, and just like from just everyday life, man, it's making me want to document everyday life and watching people and how, like, not just black people but people interact with each other, you know, and how how society is so, like, put the shield over our eyes and stuff like that. So I just want to, like, My main thing is to write about the truth.
Okay. So when you say that how society puts shit in our face and all that, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay, because you can cuss, brother. I know you wanted to. I was trying to let y'all be yourselves. Just let you know, this
right,
is like just think that he was on something like what's that the radio, like the Foxhole or something like that, or something on XM radio.
Right.
That's the kind of shit we do here. So just be you, brother.
Okay.
Man, no problem with that. But like,
okay. So what I want to do? Okay, go ahead.
I got
ahead.
A question. I mean, it's not easy, you know, for us black men to basically wear our hearts on our sleeves. So when you say you write something like poetry, I mean, who were your inspirations? What was the motivation that guided you, that basically said, look, you know, this is something I want to do and something I want to share with the world?
As far as poetry goes, it's like, it's such a cool-ass way to express yourself, you know what I mean? And black people, to me, are naturally poetic, you know what I mean? Like, just how passionate we are as a people. So I just feel like that poetry, either because rap is poetry, you know what I mean? Everybody want to be a rapper, but I just feel like that's so stereotypical, you know what I mean? But rap is poetry, just on the beat. But I just feel like just being black in America, man, and shit you got to go through just to get on the same plane, just to open the same opportunities as, you know, whites or other races. That
right.
Like that motivate me, because otherwise you would have to be trying to speak at places and you know, different venues and stuff like that to get your opinion out. And this, just to me, poetry is a quick way to, you know, write down what's on your mind, how you feel, period, or just even creatively, to explain your mind creatively.
You know what I miss, and I'm telling my age now with this, so I don't care if y'all think I'm old or whatever the fuck y'all think, but I'm just going to say it like it is. You know, the Last Poets, man, I used to love watching the Last Poets and Gil Scott-Heron when they get up and do their poetry. Basically, it was like rap, but it wasn't, but they had the jazz beat in the back or whatever the type of music they needed at the time to explain their feelings or what they were going through or what they were trying to convey to us to understand and see. You know, I would love to see something like that again. I know, like you said, a lot of people are concentrating on being rappers, which in the beginning, rap was not even supposed to be what it was. It was the hype man was just supposed to hype the DJ, and now they've changed that, where the DJ is nothing and the rapper is everything. So
right.
how can y'all bring that kind of thing back, or if you have any desire to even do that kind of thing, to bring it to this time and place in life?
I feel like you would have to, because the generation is different. It's a social generation now. So since everything is really, people's whole lifestyle is perceived through media, just through the TV. Like guys that didn't even grow up in the hood, you know, suburban kids and shit like that. You know, sagging their pants, trying to sell dope and shit like that. And that's not even how they was brought up. So as far as reaching those kids, I feel like, it'll be kind of hard for me because I'm not part of that generation, but I'm sure like socially, definitely through these social networks, you know, constantly being on there and just seeing, giving these kids like a real aspect on life, and that, you know, you just don't get rich and shit overnight. You really got to grind for the shit you do it. And if you're black, you got to grind even harder. So I just really want to, I want kids today to see that. I'm not old myself. I'm only 23. I'll be 24 next month. But I still feel like I can separate myself from the current generation just because I don't look at life the way they do. It's not all on the surface. I see deeper than that.
Damn,
so
you
me,
can be my son,
that real
bro.
Question? To me, to
there
answer the question, it'll be hard for me. I really can't answer that question because I don't know how to reach out to these, you know, new age kids.
Right. Well, let me give you guys a chance, because we hope that y'all will stick around for the whole 2 hours. This is a 2-hour show. Of course, if you have something else to do, we understand that. But what I want to do right now is I want to give each one of you, in the order that you came on the show, a chance to express one of your pieces to us and then explain to us, if, you know, what it is that you were trying to convey to us with it, I'm sure we'll be able to get that. But hopefully you can, you know, do that. So we'll start with, is it D'Angelo first?
DeMarcus.
DeMarcus, I'm sorry. Okay, we'll start with you, and then after that we'll get my other brother on.
All right. The piece that I'm going to present to y'all is it's called Fantasies. So here we go. I could tell you all the things that I want to do to you, but where's the fun in that? As my hands slowly run down your back and make your spine tingle, you react with a shudder. You've never felt another touch like this. As I lean over and kiss your neck, I see you begin to melt. As you close your eyes and let your mind travel to a supernatural plane of existence, because you are no longer plain Jane, you're an empress, you're a goddess, and I am but a servant of pleasure. My next move will be directly from your fantasy, playing out a scene straight out of the dream. What is your command? Just make sure you can handle me. My hands can do magic tricks that make you forget who you are, and if I go any farther, you may get caught up in the rapture, miss, and I will never miss the spot. I'll get you hotter than high noon in the desert, but I'm cooler than an Arabian night. And maybe I might throw in a trick or two that may leave you addicted to what I do. Or you can show me your moves, and I can do the same things you used to. But ain't no pleasure like new pleasure. So I do whatever you've yet to try. I'll be the artist that paints your concepts, and you can be my muse. But you must tell me what to do, for I don't have fantasies. I just fulfill them. And...
okay. So can you give us what your thought process when you was writing this, what you were feeling as you came up with this piece?
Well, that piece, it's pretty much, it's kind of the way I live my life. I'm one of those people, I'm a pretty open dude. I'm willing to try whatever. So, you know, when women come to me with their fantasies, I'm always down. But I think that a lot of times, you know how it is, women want you to get creative in the bedroom and stuff like that, but they don't know what they want to do. But I'm not,
okay.
I'm not a guy. I don't mentally go there. I'm like, if you tell me what you want to do, then I can do it for you. Believe me, I
so
can
you
do it.
So you don't know how to bring that inner thing that they don't know what they want to do out of them, huh? You got to get them to tell you?
Oh, see, I mean, I get them to kind of lead me in that
Hey, DV,
you know,
DV's taking me down that road. I'm not trying to go, but he's taking me, brother.
I mean...
don't let me start talking shit about women, okay, because I will. No, but go ahead. I understand. Now, you have to be...
yeah,
I don't know. You told me your age, okay, so I'm going to let that be the reason, okay? But my thing is when you write and you're talking this way and learning and expressing, as we all learning, even at the age I am, we're still learning. My thing is you got to be able to make that woman, just make it about the woman. Because you're right. A lot of times a woman don't know what she wants, so you got to be able to make her realize what she wants. And you have to make love to her mind with your words. So if that's what you plan on doing with your poetry,
that was the point.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
That was the point of the
okay.
Was, you know, to make her explore her own mind, you know?
Okay, so do you think that you... do you think that you accomplished that with that piece?
I think I did. I think I did from just from the feedback that I've gotten from it. And
well, I'm
going
to tell you right now, the reason why I asked you that is because the chat room wants to know. They want you to explain, I'm willing to try whatever. What the fuck is that? That's what they want to know.
It means I'm willing to try whatever. It's not...
But what does that mean? What if she? Okay, let me say. I'm gonna give you a scenario. You're saying, you know what I'm going to say? He's saying I'm willing to try whatever. What if she decides that she wants to stick a dildo up your ass? You gonna try that?
Okay, no. But
then say shit you ain't gonna do, brother. Explain yourself. You are a man that uses words, so you got to be able to do that. Okay. You don't wear sexy radio. Remember that. All right, now come on.
Again,
explain yourself, because they want to know the answer.
Again, the point of the piece is to get their mind working towards, you know, towards a certain fantasy or whatever.
Now, let me tell you this. Now you go ahead. I'm going to let you finish. Go ahead.
Once you get their mind working into that in that direction, then everything's on the table, kind of. And you can say yes, you can say no. But when you bring, you know, whatever out, I think it makes it more enjoyable for both parties, you know.
Oh, okay. So let me stop you right there. You got to get to her mind, not just with sexual words. Because most women are into the intellect that a man brings to the table. You're talking about bringing stuff to the table. You need to bring it to the table, and it doesn't necessarily have to be sexual words, but you got to, you know, like I always say, when you make love to somebody, you got to make love to their mind. And what I mean by that is you got to have been talking to her 2 days ago if you want to get something tonight. How are you going to do that?
I mean, I don't
think
know.
About
man.
That.
Like,
I want you to think about that while I get the other brother, Mr. Cortez, okay. To do us a point. You think about that because we're going to come back to you. Okay, Cortez, are you ready?
Yes, sir. The piece I'm about
brother.
To do is called, it's called The Truth.
Okay.
And, there I go. If you're the truth, then tell it like it is, not what you want me to perceive it to be. If you're the truth, then be progressive and not regressive, and don't just suggest the truth just to impress me. Because either way, the ones looking up are the ones who find it impressive. So don't look down and see a protege of your negative side, because then it'll be too late. When you look down, the truth will be staring you right in the face. It was a short piece, that's what I wanted to, but that's one of my favorite pieces, so.
Okay. Cotton, are you here? I don't know if she's here. She dropped earlier. Who is area code 312? Are you
here.
Just a listener?
Sorry. I'm
okay.
Here. I'm here.
Okay. Did you hear the last poet? Mr. Cortez Cheeks, he just did a poem. Did you hear that?
Yes, I heard some of it, yes.
Okay, well, what did you hear? Because I want you to comment, because the brother said the name of his poem was called The Truth. And I want you to kind of, you know, talk to him about it. Because we got one brother that's saying that he knows about how to get to women's minds, and I think he's confused. But we're going to get him there. We're going to get him straight tonight before he gets off Word Sex Radio. Okay? All right. Okay,
you,
but go ahead.
If you don't mind, can you give me a couple of lines from the last poem, please? Cause...
Yes, ma'am. I'll repeat. It's a short piece. So I'll repeat the whole poem. If you're the truth, then tell it like it is, not what you want me to perceive it to be. If you're the truth, be progressive and not regressive, and don't just suggest the truth to impress me. Because either way, the ones looking up are the ones who find it impressive. So don't look down and see a protege of your negative side, because then it'll be too late. The truth will be staring you right in the face.
I like that. I actually like that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like that.
What do you,
Cortez,
what do you
before she answers, let me go ahead and say this, and then you can ask her your question. She is okay. Ms. Cotton. I don't know if you heard of Ms. Cotton. She is the soft-spoken poet, and she also has a radio show, which I'm sure you guys would probably want to get on as well.
Okay.
But she is the author of 7 novels, poetry books, and she's going to be talking to you. So go ahead, Cotton. Go ahead and... Well, you had a question for her. Go ahead and ask your question and let her answer you.
No, I just wanted to know, like, her opinion. Like, what is she, what she said?
Well, for me, when I'm listening to poetry, I want people to, however I wrote it at the time, when I give it to you, I want you to feel exactly what I was feeling when I wrote it. If I'm not,
right.
if I don't feel like you're feeling that, and I can tell from the audience's reaction, and so far I haven't had that issue because I'm giving it to you.
Right.
I'm giving it to you like I'm the only person standing in the room sometimes, or it's just me and him.
GPA back up to my, yes, you are.
Yes, that is GPA.
Okay. All right. Did he call in? Because I see the number. Okay, hold on.
No,
okay, go ahead.
No, I'm supposed to be right.
Yeah.
I see a 773 number. Who is this 773 number here? Are you just listening?
I was just listening. What we should talk about?
We're talking about poetry right now, brother. But we will definitely come back to you if you think you have a question.
Yes, I do have a question. What imbues a person to make such interstellar words come from the soul, reach from the heavens, from the gifts of God, to create the cerebral cortex of the man who writes it down on a piece of paper?
Okay, we'll come back to you, brother. We'll come back to you. Let's go. I got a couple of questions here I want to ask the two poets real quick. First to DeMarcus, I have to ask you, brother, why are you so nervous? I mean, how old are you again? You said you was 24, is that what you said?
I'm 21.
21, okay, that's why you're nervous. Okay, well, brother, don't be nervous, because you amongst grown-ups now, and we're going to get you squared away.
It's kind of a weird thing for me, because, like, you know.
You're kind of fading off. Come on back in, brother.
It's a weird thing for me because I wasn't really aware of what type of show it was. So I got, like, my whole family listening. I think my grandma's listening.
I'm
trying to get my mom to, like, you know, call off everybody because, I wasn't aware of what was going on.
As soon as we get off the show, they're going to have the extension cord right there. They're like, yeah, it's just you and us, baby.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know.
Okay, well, damn. I'm cussing again. I'm sorry. Well, parents and people that's listening, I hope y'all not getting offended because this is an explicit show. I think you should have probably did a little research, but that's okay. It's fine. I'm going to ask Cortez, are you planning on writing any more poetry in the future?
Yes. I mean, I do plan on writing poetry in the future. I don't consider myself like an established poet. I just write, and it just so happened that my aunt found interest in what I write. I'm sure.
Okay,
like,
you keep saying. Let me stop you right there. You keep saying your aunt. Okay, so let me ask you this: are you writing because you want to write, or are you doing it because somebody likes it?
I write because I wanted at the time, because I'm really not doing that much writing now. But at the time, I was writing because it actually interested me.
So my question to you is, or my statement to you would be, don't keep saying that you're writing because your aunt said that she saw something in you.
No,
if you like writing,
write.
then you should write because you love writing, brother. Okay?
Right. I understand where you're coming from. I'm not saying that she is the reason why I'm writing, but she's the reason why it's exposed, should I say.
Okay, I got that, and that's no problem. But the thing is you got to love this thing to do it, because that's
right.
You can't do it for money, although money will
right.
come. You can't be doing it for that reason. You got to be doing it because you love it, because if you ain't touching nobody but one person,
money,
if that's all you're getting is that one person, that's it. Okay?
Exactly.
Okay, so now, back to my brother DeMarcus, the youngster.
Yes, sir. What's going on?
If you're going to be writing poetry especially about sexual things and stuff, you got to understand where women are coming from. And putting it on the table by just saying sexual stuff the way you did, that was okay. It was cute. But you can't come like that all the time. And you got to come. And I'm not dogging your poetry because I'm not a poet. It was a great poem. So first of all, don't get that ideal. But what I want you to do is you got to really study women if you're going to be writing about women, to talk to women, to get to women.
Well,
okay?
Can I share another piece that kind of addresses what you wanted me to talk about?
Well, no, you can talk about whatever. I want you to do whatever you want. This word sexy does not mean you got to do erotic poetry. You chose to do that, so that's
right.
why we're talking about that.
No, I understand, but I also have, you know, I have a piece. It's called Mental Seduction that kind of goes into that.
Okay. Cotton, go ahead and say what you was going to say.
DeMarcus, so when you're doing this piece, because I'm a firm believer in giving it every time. So when you wrote that piece, what woman were you thinking about?
Damn good question. Damn good question. Damn good question. Damn good
because,
question.
See, I'm a lot older, of course. If I were 21 and you were going to give that to me, I want you to give it to me like you was really, like, making love to me physically, even though you're not touching me, because what you want, what I want to feel from you is that electricity before you even touch any part of my body.
Right, right. Hey, right. Cotton, is GPA 459?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to let him, I'm going to bring this brother in. Now, before I bring him in, I'm going to tell you, he's going to come strong, he's going to come hard. This is GPA. He is the greatest poet alive, okay? So that's what he says, and I'm going to let you see why. GPA,
hey,
what's up, brother?
Hey.
What's up, brother?
Hey, what's up, Cotton? What's good? What's up, fellas? Pete, D-Town, I see you.
Okay. We have a couple of brothers, and we're going to let them do some more poetry here in a few minutes because we got another hour and 20 minutes. So it's going to be plenty of time for everybody out there to hear it. And if you guys, if you want to call in, the number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio. And those that don't know, this is explicit radio. So if you hear some cuss words and shit, don't get upset because that's what this is, okay? I'm just letting you know. And I hope that my brother's parents and stuff is not on there. I didn't know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if y'all listening, but so this is the fucking show. So anyway, all right, now, like I said, I'm not trying to disrespect them, but let's get back to this. GPA, we got two poets here. They're strong brothers. I think they have very much potential. One is 21, and I don't know how old the other brother is, but I want you to. I'm going to let them do a couple of pieces again, and then I'm going to kind of put some input. And I know DV is still here, right? DV, you still here, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I want you to.
To listen to what they're saying. I want you to listen to what they're saying. One brother did, the younger brother, who DeMarcus, I'm going to say. I'm not trying to dog you by saying younger, but we're going to get you right, brother. So what I want to do is I want you to set the piece that you said you wanted to read. I want you to read that piece or say it from your heart and do it with the way you wrote it, like Cotton said, and then we're going to see what my man GPA has to say about it. So go ahead, brother. And then we're going to let Cortez do his thing as well.
All right, this piece is called Mental Seduction. I just want you to come over, and we can get a little closer. But I'm not trying to be slick, girl. I'm just trying to hold you. Maybe we could watch a movie. I'll even fix you a bite. Just tell me what you like. You can leave once we're through, or I can spend the night just holding you. Because at the moment, the sex isn't important. And yes, your body's amazing, but darling, your mind is gorgeous. And I would love to dig deeper, bring you to your intellectual climax. No funny business. Just trying to see where your mind is at. And when you ask me, do I mind rewinding that, is a reminder that all the gentlemen are becoming extinct. That chivalry is on the brink of destruction, that we've lost the art of mental seduction, abstract cerebral eruptions reduced to almost nothing. Imagination rendered useless because everything is so blatant and nothing on earth is sacred anymore. So take it how you want it. But unless you can seduce my mind, you can take it to the door. And I can take you to a show a little later because it's in my nature, but face it, you'll be quickly replaced if your mentality is commonplace. I need a woman that is less impressed by my cars and by my drive. That's what drives me crazy. I learned long ago that it's hard not to waste time, no matter how many times you play this game. To lead with the body rather than the mind is to have a nice watch that tells no time. But if you seduce the brain, everything else falls in line. So without dancing, entrance me, hands free. Verbally seduce me.
Okay, before you comment, I probably shouldn't do this because y'all gonna think I'm fucking with him and shit, but I'm not. But I gotta do this. So let me play this one thing for you because I want you to hear this real quick before we comment, and I want people that are listening. And it's not trying to dog anybody or put anybody down, but just to see how much heart you put in. Then I want to show you. Matter of fact, I'm going to let you comment first before I play it. Go ahead, GPA. Comment on that.
I like the idea of the concept. The title immediately grabbed me. One thing I recommend, like when you're performing, I know you're on the show and you wanted to give that. A lot of times I don't even tell unless it's something new. When I'm performing live or whatever, I don't even tell titles. I just go, I don't do any explanations. I just go straight in. Because then if your poem has painted the right picture, then everybody can get what it's about, what the title of, et cetera. One thing in your delivery, I would slow down just a tad. So, because you said a lot of things in there. You said a lot of things, and you painted some pictures. The part about the, you know, wanting to go to a movie because that's your nature, I dig that. I think details are very important because the poem was about mental seduction, if I'm correct. So you want to paint as vivid a picture as you can with your words because that's all you have. If somebody's listening to you over the phone right now like we are and they don't see you, they can't see your hand movements, your facial expressions, anything like that. They just go by your words, and so they have to be as descriptive as possible. Keep working at that because you got the right idea behind it. But
okay.
One thing I would say, just not only for you but for anybody who's writing, make sure you form your own style and not anybody else's. That's all.
Can I give you an example of something? And I'm not trying to make you be this, but I just want you to hear this real quick because I just want you to get an idea of how this brother has created himself to be GTA.
Wow. GTA is the poetic unform. The title of this piece is Round 548. With a right leg draping his left shoulder, a left leg doing the opposite of the right. Her ample backside spilling into his palms, into the bosom, face to face, with overflowing life-giving fountains, she began to count. 60 looks swiftly, 60 looks slow. 24 circles, 7 figurates, 30 brushes upon the protrusion, there, dark upon the basement floor. 365 alternating clockwise, counterclockwise squares.
Okay, now with that poem that you just heard from Mr. GPA, what I got from that was I actually saw somebody eating some pussy and then she gushed. And he motherfucking got off. That's what I saw from that. That's what you got to be able to do with your poetry when you put it out there, when you say you want to get to that woman or whatever you're trying to do with it. That's his way, though. You got to come up with your way.
Exactly.
You got that?
Got it.
Okay, Brother Cortez, are you ready?
Wait. DeMarcus.
Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to hear from DeMarcus really quickly about how he felt.
Go ahead. Say something. I'm not trying to. Like I said, this is not to down your dog because you are a poet. You don't have to prove nothing to nobody here on this show. Okay? I just want to help you.
DeMarcus, you know, the thing of it is that you've seen a lot of poets, I'm sure, and you're fairly young, and you talked on some of the how social media is what people use so much today. So part of us saying this, because we've heard a lot of poets come on the radio show and they get on and they read, nobody ever says to them, hey, you have a great concept, however, you can make it better by doing X, Y, and Z. So we've decided that we're not just going to sugarcoat everything when people come on and do certain poetry. Your poetry is great, but there's also a way to make it better so that it sounds more like you and less like somebody else.
There you go. Okay. He has a comment, I'm sure.
Go, DeMarcus.
I understand that. And one of the big things about me is I'm really a written poet. I'm not really a spoken word poet. So a lot of my pieces I haven't even performed ever. because they're written pieces.
Okay.
And I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that. You know why? Because they're not spoken word poets either.
Not even close.
We're not.
There's a difference. Spoken word is all that singing and all that twang and shit. This ain't. This is poetry.
But you know, I don't. The one thing you got to remember is only you can tell your story. So
right.
It doesn't matter if you don't really speak your poetry that you want people to understand. Nobody will understand it like you do. And so,
that's
therefore,
true.
In order for us to get it, you got to get it. You see what I'm
right.
saying? It's not us, like I said, it's not us picking on you, but like it's like me. I write books, all right? But if I walk into, you know, somebody's book festival, or if I walk into, you know, a place where they throw me a party and they want me to do a book reading, and I read timidly, it doesn't reflect on me or my characters. So, therefore, I have to bring a presence. And whenever, especially when you do poetry, you have to command that presence. People want to hear you. People need to hear you, and you need to tell them why. So, I mean, I'm the last person to be able to, you know, I'm one of those people, I don't like standing in front of audiences, but I know that that's an aspect of being, of putting my name out there that I have to live with.
Right. Okay.
You're basically giving us your passion in word form. So
right.
You know.
And if you're not passionate about it, they damn sure ain't gonna be passionate about it.
Right. So we want to feel that. So we're not, as Red has said several times, we're not reaming you or anything like that. I personally would love to see you just be even better than what you are now.
But you're gonna please show people lie to you.
Yeah.
Just tell you, oh, that was great. You can get in, you be in line.
That sure was good, boy.
You know, that was a great piece. I really enjoyed that. And they had no idea what you said.
And then you're like, you want to buy my book? They're like, hell no.
Right.
That's the one thing that I don't want, you know, because I don't want to be coddled into this, because there's more that I want to do with my writing. So
right.
I want people, you know, to just give me, you know, oh, yeah, it was good, I liked it, cool, and then not give me any feedback, which, because mostly all the feedback I've gotten has been from the book and not from performance, it's mostly been positive. So this is a, you know, like the speaking part, it's kind of new territory for me, but I appreciate that feedback and stuff, positive and negative.
No doubt.
Oh, none of this was negative.
None of this was negative.
None of this was negative. So don't even take it like that. None of this was negative.
Constructive, I'll put it like that. Constructive. Okay.
Nobody is here to dog anyone. First
no.
of all, if I didn't
no.
think you had
no.
anything, you wouldn't even be on the show, first of all, because you know how I am, y'all know how I am. I don't have garbage on the show. So now I want to focus on my brother, Mr. Cheeks. Is that your name, Cortez Cheeks?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, we want to bring you up to the front now. Do you have another piece that you would like to share with us?
Yes, I can share another piece. This piece is called I Am. I am in spite of what you think I might be, because you draw ignorant assumptions based on what you see. I am a black American man whose plan is to make it in this country of stars and stripes. The black men who make it are the stars. The rest are left with the stripes. You get three strikes. Well, I was already born with two. God damn, look at what being born can do. I'm here to break barriers and walls and make history, change statistics, and have all my kids by one woman. By never being weak enough to be addicted to anything besides my life and my family. Have a house built for my Grammy, but not from winning Grammys, because I'm not an actor. More like a factor, but not much of a problem either. In America, that depends on what side of the fence you're on. And I'm John, that's it. That was my piece.
Okay, all right. My poet experts. Which one of y'all want to start?
Look at me,
man.
I'm a poor retard. Y'all know that.
I know. We're erotic fiction authors. So we're gonna let the poets go ahead and do this real quick.
I enjoy the piece. Definitely, Cortez gets his point across. So.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. Are you also not a reader? Like, do you perform your poetry?
No, man. I've never performed before. I'm not a performer. That's why, like, if I could, I would love to be that. I would love to be a performer. I would love to be able to convey that out like that, like how you was trying to, you was describing to me, you do your poetry. I would love to do that.
Well, but let me show you something real quick. Just for a second, because you're good. Both of you guys are good. And I want y'all to understand, nobody is saying that you're not. But I think that if you're a poet, just like us as authors, we don't write to get up and read in front of people, but we have to.
Right.
We have to be able to do that. So you have to, if you wrote this passionately like you did in your mind to bring it out for a book, you should be willing to want to perform it as well. And it doesn't have to be spoken word. You're a poet. Spoken word people are not, they're artists. That's why they call them spoken word artists. They're not poets.
You have to have some kind of sense of performance in there too, though. You have to have some kind of, you know what I mean? If you're not that person, then I'm not saying, because there's no such thing as something that you can't do, but maybe not as well or not as it, on the same level as others. And I don't feel like I'm that
yet,
but I still feel like, you know, I still get my point across in how I say it, how I convey it.
Absolutely.
You
got and what I'm showing you, what I'm showing you is I'm not trying to get you to be like these people that I'm giving you examples of. I'm trying to get you to find your own self, to get to yourself, how you want to perform. I'm just giving you examples of how they have grown. You know, they have not been this way all the time. But I just want you to see where you can go. Now, I want to play another piece real quick of something, and I want you to tell me what you think about it.
Okay.
Watch the movement of his lips. Listen to the sound of his face. Look in time. And sometimes say, what is the sound out of his mouth? A soft moisturized your eyes. That light that kisses the back of your neck. Yes, ma'am. They soothe your soul. That love on every part of your body shines. And quietly tell me the tattoo on his heart. Allow him to send you a present in his lips against your mouth. Now quietly listen for a moment. His eyes just know now. His own changes continue. And then he just quiet. Can you still hear him?
All right, brother, what you think?
Well,
how did you feel when you heard that?
I couldn't really understand what she was saying. It was kind of jumbled a little bit.
It was jumbled?
Yeah. I mean, I think
I felt like she... I'm sorry, go ahead.
That was all right to say.
Okay.
I felt like I could almost, like, make up a scenario where she was at, like, in a tub with the candles lit and, you know, the music playing in the background. Like, I can get the whole scene from listening to that, you know, piece.
I'm going to tell you what I got from it. I felt like, shit, she was looking at me and she was going down my chest, down to my shit, and, my lips, you know what I'm saying? No, I ain't no pervert. How in the hell am I? Anyway, but you see what I'm saying, right? What we're trying to do, there probably was a lot of noise in the background, somebody was saying in the chat room. Okay. But the thing is, I want you to see that you guys have talent and y'all can take this poetry wherever you want to.
Right.
That's what the whole objective of this is you can take it and you can make it yours and you can do what you want and you can perform it. And you don't have to bow down to be what they call a spoken word artist. You can be a real poet.
right.
And
right.
Bring it like
bring it like that.
Yeah, it takes time, and
it takes
the confidence build up is probably the major thing. Once you realize, I think it takes, once you realize that you have it, and you don't think about other people, then it comes right.
Absolutely.
Somebody is, I don't know if I'm getting some background feedback somewhere. I don't know if it's my phone or what.
Yeah, I don't even have the radio pulled up.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you right now, you guys are good. You're good. The chat room is saying that they're getting into you guys. But there is a request. And there is an echo. People are saying they hear that. Okay, I don't know why. What I would like to do is try to see if I can get Cotton and GPA to do the I'm angry poem, because that's being asked for. And I'm echoing. I'm trying to figure out how to stop the echo. I don't know how to do that, because that's not me. That's the radio. So I apologize, but hopefully you guys, when you talk, is it still going? I think it's gone.
No,
it's still there. Okay.
One second.
So GPA and Cotton, are y'all ready to do the I'm angry poem? Because you've been requested.
Hello?
Yeah, can y'all do that?
Yeah, Red, you don't even echo.
Yeah, because I don't hear an echo.
Okay, well, I'm hearing it for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, and I hear it.
I'm only hearing it when you talk.
When you guys talk,
breathe are hard as hell.
Are y'all going to do that poem real quick?
Yeah, we can do it. You ready?
GP, are you still there?
He's here.
I'm here.
Okay, you. I'm angry because you've been requested in the chat room, and I'm sorry for the echo.
I'm angry. I'm angry with him. I woke up at 3 a.m. sweating with a bad disposition because of him. I don't want to feel like this. Because if he were here, I wouldn't be missing the aroma of our lovemaking, our late-night conversations, the love he exudes, the kisses he's laid up on my body. See, I'm not just missing our making love. I'm missing the love we make. I fell in love, and it's his fault. So as I lay here, my anger and my emotions out of sorts, I understand that if he were here right now, I wouldn't be angry. I would be giving him what I desire, allowing him to lay his strong hands on my breast, kissing the back of my neck. So at 3:20 a.m., as I lay here alone, I pick up the phone and I dial his number to ask, GPA, how do you feel?
At 3:22 a.m. in the morning, the voice comes across the phone with quite concern. Normally soft-spoken, but it is terse. And she asks me, no, she demands to know of me how I feel. And so I tell her, I'm mad about you. I'm mad about you every day I wake up at the breakfast table. And I'm hating the fact that sometimes you aren't here to eat the pancakes, the turkey bacon, the coffee, and the orange juice the same way Cain hated his brother Abel. See, I got up this morning, for example, and I got on my knees in prostration. And I thank God. I thank God for putting air into my lungs, in my heart a beat, putting my feeling back in my fingers, sound into my ears, sight into my eyes, and let all my extremities work, my family alive and healthy, and this beautiful woman in my life, you. I got up from prostration, and I washed myself up, and I went to the gym. And I started my workout. I started out with some push-ups. Some bench presses, inclines, flat, and declines. Then I did some triceps. So now, when we're walking down the street with you on the inside, me on the outside, I look like the man that can protect you because I'm mad about you. And see, then I come home, and you're still not there. So I get into the shower. And after I get out of the shower, and because I'm dark-skinned, I use olive oil instead of anything else, because when you take these clothes off of me in moments of intimacy, I'd rather you see me ebony and not ashy, because I'm mad about you. And I am a poet. So
after in the morning, after I've done everything I just described to you, I open up my book and I write poems to and about you. When I go to work and the man isn't looking, I get on Facebook and I use my pen to write poems to and about you. When I'm on my way home on the train, I'm using my HTC phone and I'm writing poems to and about you. And before we make love, and while we're making love, and after we make love, I'm reciting poems to and about you. And I write these poems to test all of your capabilities. Maybe I can put something on your mind so you think about me. Maybe I can reach inside your left breast and put something on your heart so you feel something for me. And maybe, just maybe, I can make you jiggle to that battery-operated boyfriend and those batteries and let me make love to you like a man's supposed to. And I'm mad about you. I'm mad about you. And you might say, oh, but you sound angry. Oh, but you sound aggressive. Oh, but you sound antagonistic. And I say, no, love. It's just the opposite extreme. It's because you walk across my mind constantly in thought. You are the sole occupant of all my fond memories. And you are the inspiration for all my fantasies and my dreams. I'm mad about you. And see, I have found the glitch in the matrix. And it was taught to me by a wise man. His name was Mr. Fix. And I tell you, that's my dearly departed dad, and I don't say that to make anyone sad. It's just for the knowledge from a son to his father he shared what he had. And he said, son, it's biblical. See, from Adam, Eve was created to be with Adam, and for the true fruition of God's plan, man was created to be with woman as woman was created to be with man. He said, son, go out and find you a good woman. So at 3:30 a.m., you have the audacity, the gall, the temerity to sit here and wonder how I feel about you. Well, I'm not mad at you. I'm mad about you. Fuck off.
Nah, that's some good shit.
All right, brothers. Y'all heard it?
Yeah.
That's dope.
Okay, that's what you got to do. That's where you want to get to. Now, I'm not saying you got to do it like them.
Right.
But you got to do it with enthusiasm and all that. And I don't know how to get this echo off. I don't know. I hate to drive a car and then come back.
It sounded like it sounded for the last half of it. GPA was in the shower or something, man, because all I heard was static.
Really? So do I need to drop off and come back? If nobody hangs up, if I drop off, right?
No, but we make fun of you.
Because they'll say, the host has dropped, right? Well, I ain't going to go. Okay.
We're not going to hang up.
I don't have a radio on. Somebody was asking do I have a radio on. I do not. This is inside of the hall. I don't know. Can y'all hear me now? Is this Kay Ekron?
I hear you. We hear you just fine.
Yeah, it's still echo, though. I don't know what it is. I'm not using a speaker. These are questions I'm being asked in the chat room, so they must hear the echo. I don't know.
Chat room, did you enjoy our poem?
Excuse me, is it still echoing? No. Okay, I'm still echoing. Okay. I don't know what this is. But anyway. Okay, now, I think we have our other guest. I think she is here now. Say your name and state where you're calling from.
This is Tony Hodges. From
she's echoing too. Okay, before we go any further, you got another guest. The chat room is loving y'all. So she said, I love that piece. They bring it every time. That's what the chat room said about y'all. So, and they say, yeah, they do. Okay. Damn, I don't know why this is echoing. Okay, so Miss Lady from 317, what is your name again?
Tony Hodges.
How are you, Tony?
19.
Okay, I'm sorry that we have an echo going on. For some reason, we're having difficulties right now. But maybe it'll give an effect to your poetry. Are you going to give us a background of where you're from and how you got into the game?
Sure. I'm originally from Detroit, Michigan, and I was discovered by my cousin, Alita Brown. I first began writing poetry when I was 15, and ever since then, it's been my outlet and my way to express myself in creative ways. It's been my freedom, and as long as I'm alive, I will never stop writing.
Okay, so you're not a spoken word artist, you're a poet, right?
Yes, poet.
Okay. So do you have anything published or anything like that?
Yes, I have two books published. My most recent book is entitled Daily Written. It is a collection of poetry. I wrote a poet, DeRay Rapper, Underground Edition Club, and it's a book I wrote last year. It details events and situations and how young people go through throughout their lives and step there and be able to express themselves like their lifetime. This book is detailing everything they go through. They can relate to this book in many ways because of the poem.
Okay. I don't know what's going on with the background. It's echoing, but am I still echoing?
Not anymore.
I was. I'm not now.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Okay. So, Tony, I want to get you to do a PCR. Are you prepared to bring us something?
To recite a poem?
Yeah. All
right.
Okay. If you don't want to, you don't have to. But this is explicit radio. Like, you can say whatever the fuck you want. So you just put it out the way you got to. Okay.
All right. Let me find one here.
Tony, did I hear you mention Aretha Brown?
Yes.
Oh, okay. The reason I asked is because she just recently sent me some information. I believe I met her in St. Louis, I believe it was. And so she sent me some information on three poets that are going to be on my show in January.
These are probably the three.
I'm thinking now that, yeah, because DeMarcus' name, the first name sounds familiar, but of course I didn't get the last names on everybody, so...
These are the people, and she is in the chat room, and she is the one who requested the poem that y'all recited.
We had so much fun in St. Louis, and we did that poem on the sidewalk in front of Sweetie Pies.
Well,
so it was.
There's a Miss Rogers also on the chat room. I'm not going to say anything else, but she is out there on point too and loving it.
Hey, Miss Mary. That's Miss Mary Rogers.
So
hey, Miss Mary Rogers.
They loving y'all. They loving y'all. Y'all throwing the fuck down. Now we gonna let my girl Tony do her thing. And we want you to bring it with feeling and shit, because we dogged the other two. No, we didn't. Let them know that they need to come on with their shit. Because that's what you got to do. You're performing. Yeah, they're still here. That's why I said it, because they're still here. Because I'm just fucking with them. But anyway, go ahead, baby. We want you to do your thing. Whenever you're ready.
All right. This is a political piece.
It can be whatever you want to do. Political.
Because the election is next month, so.
Really, next week.
Actually, yeah, I was about to say that.
It's called Addressing Democracy. Okay. This so-called democracy, nothing but hypocrisy, locking us away for the same time behind scenes. Abiding by your rules and regulations has never been my forte. You've been scheming and plotting against society like you're all fresh prey. Uncle Sam ain't no kin of mine, nothing but a crook and a gambler. Reaching up underage shirts and stalking streets like a peddler. Go shoot an innocent bystander in a third world country for looking at your phone. Go make a deal with an assassin to take down world leaders with your blood money. Go ahead and monitor open conversations. Follow us across the nation. The day is approaching for our youth to unchain our minds, take our mouths and speak truth. our voices will be heard. We will not keep us quiet. And we remember one day that the lies will fight the worldwide right. I am going to write that poem at the Toby on Election Day.
Okay.
Again, I'm getting a lot of background.
I am lost. No, good. Okay, go ahead. I'm good. So you say you're going to do that on Election Day?
I would like to recite that.
Okay.
People don't like people talking about government.
Okay. You know, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that's going to probably be pissed, but that's the objective, right? You know, because, I mean, I served 22 years for this country, even though it's, I ain't gonna say it's fucked up, but you know, I mean, I don't agree with everything, but
no, but look, like the thing is, man, we were all like that. Let's be honest, we all thought we had easy answers, easy solutions to hard questions, you know, and somewhere along the way, everything got muddled.
Right, but you're right. And I'm not dumb. It was good. It was cute. It was all right. I mean, Election Day, I just hope you don't go to jail. No, I'm just playing. No, but we're gonna let the poets say the poet critics, they're going to say a few things. And I think it was good, really. Seriously, on a serious note, I thought it was pretty good. I'm not a poet, so I can't really judge it. I just know how poetry should sound and how it should come out. As long as you did that with your feeling and what you meant out of that, it's the thing that we're trying to get here. And that's what we're trying to tell the other two gentlemen. You know, they have good poetry. It's just that you have to deliver it. Even though you're not one that stands up in front of people all the time, you got to put the feeling you wrote it, because we want to feel how you felt when you wrote it. And that's the objective. Same thing we try to do with the books we write. I write erotic fiction novels. When I write about a sex scene, I want you to be there. I want you to be either feeling like you're in the sex scene or you watching the shit.
Right.
So that's the objective. That's what you have to do with your poetry as well. So go ahead, y'all.
Tony, how old are you?
19.
Okay,
that explains it. All right, go ahead.
She said she was 19 before.
Yeah,
right,
she's 19.
Right.
You can't, see, Rich, you can't talk to her the same way you
talk to me. I can't talk to her, and I'm not. Now that I know her age, I will not do that. So if I said some fucked up things to you, I am sorry. Seriously, the poem was good. Okay, I can't cuss at her. I know, but everybody's grown. She's 18. I mean 19. Excuse me. She's grown.
She's 19. That don't mean she's grown. That just means she's 19.
Okay. But let me say this, though. It does explain how she feels about the country, though, with the way she brought that. Now I have a great understanding of why she brought it that way. So I'm just going to let Cotton go ahead. And you're right, I can't talk to her like I talk to you, Cotton, and I'm not. So you go ahead and if GPA is still here, y'all go ahead and tell her what she needs to hear. And you guys are going to be talking to them again. If I'd have known that, I wouldn't have had y'all, you know, so hard. I mean, y'all wasn't hard, but I mean, I just love you guys to be the poet experts to be on the show. So that's the reason why I wanted to, you know, was glad that you guys called in and made yourself guests on the show. Like I said, you come anytime you want. So go ahead and tell my sweetheart here, Miss Tony, and I thank you for coming on, Tony. So go ahead and talk to her.
You know, because I actually have pictures of all three of you. Young poets. I always say young poets. But you know, well, because I have a daughter, she's 21, and she started writing at a really early age. And she started off writing rap. So the rap turned into poetry. And so now she writes, I want to say she writes political. She writes about God. She writes about me. She writes about just different things. And so I have to train her to come with the passion. Even when she's reading it from her phone or from a book or from a piece of paper, I want to feel however you felt when you wrote that. I want to feel that every single time. It doesn't matter if you're a performer or not. I enjoy all of your poetry. I enjoy all of it. But going forward, when you're as you're progressing, you're going to come into a form of your own that's going to make you stand out amongst, you know, above and beyond anybody else. Whether it be maybe you drop a tear here and there, or maybe you do a dance number prior to whatever it is that motivates you, because you all three of you have a message that you're trying to get out. DeMarcus is talking about love, and he talks about love and some other things, and Cortez is political in some aspect, and you're also Tony political in that aspect, the pieces that we've heard so far. So right. I would say just keep pushing, and as you're growing, because I heard that you guys were really good. I heard that you were really good, and so I have been doing my scheduling, and you all are on my schedule for January, and so I cannot wait to have you on my show.
Me neither.
But just keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
And you know,
thank you.
I'm gonna say this real quick, and then I'll let you go ahead and comment. And we can get you guys back on again if we need to, because of the static we had. That was not planned. Now, like I said, the echo's gone and everything, so there's no problem bringing you back in the future. We can do that and let you do some more. And you're going to get a chance to go on the real poetry show, the Poetry's Love Letter, and you'll be able to really do your thing over there. But right now, Ms. Hodges, is GPA still here?
I'm here.
No, his phone dropped.
Oh, okay. All right. So I think that's good. I'm glad you are here and you guys are starting. And you know, one thing about this genre that we're in, or this not genre, but this game, I call it literary game. It really is a game. But it's just this, just so you know that, you know, we're in this thing, and we have to be able to ask ourselves what's going to set us apart from the other person that's doing the same thing or something like what we're doing. That's the reason why we're even talking about this tonight to you, is because we want you to be able to make yourself stand out. And you got to find out what that is that's different from what everybody else is doing.
And then you have to
take that and run with that.
Marcus.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm putting you on the spot, DeMarcus, right now. In January, when you get ready to come on my show, because I'm a very... I just want you to understand this about me. I'm a very sensual person. I'm a very sensual poet. And it just comes natural for me. So when I hear that next sensual piece from you, I want to feel like, dang, I wish I was 21 again.
She being nice to you. Because if it was me, I'd be saying, man, my dick ain't hard. What's up, man? I should be wanting to do something.
Well, no, I want him. So when he comes, when he gets ready to come on, no. Yeah,
like,
I
you don't make my dick hard. Two thumbs down.
When you come,
I know
on
I'm
my
nasty.
Show,
I know. I'm gonna stop being nasty. That's okay.
When you come on the show, I want you to give me some of that. Yeah, so you got plenty of time to perfect on whatever you're going to perfect on to bring it to the Poetry's Love Letter, because I want to hear that. I know you're 21. You're 21, but you can still bring some of that hotness. I know you got it because you're a good-looking brother.
All right. Damn, build his ass up. Just go on, build his ass up. Okay. Now, Tony, I haven't seen pictures of you, but I want to see. Anyway, how did you get into it? You just started writing and you just love it, or you said you were discovered by your cousin? But what inspires you to write? And I saw you came with a political piece. And do you? What other things do you write? Do you just write about life itself, or is it just what is it that you do? As far as what inspires you?
I pretty much write about everything, as you can see, political. Whether it be about parenting, whether it be about depression, whether it be about anger, any topic under the sun I write about, because everybody has a story, but you never know that person's story until you get inside their head. So basically, what I write is telling my story, except it's through writing, it's through reading. It's a way for me to, you know, evolve as a person, pretty much. like pretty much what my goal to do is it's like watching these girls. Like, someone opening someone's diary and reading into their personal thoughts. That's what I like my poetry to be. I like it. I like that vulnerability in my poetry.
So you want the miseducation of
not alone.
Tony Hodges, is that what we're getting? Is that what we're trying to get? The miseducation of you? Is that where we're going?
Excuse me?
Are we getting the miseducation of Miss Tony Hodges? Is that what we're getting?
Yep.
Okay.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Okay, well, that's good. Okay, so now you guys, are y'all all signed under the same label as far as writing publisher?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Brown Essence Publishing.
Okay. And do y'all, okay, so y'all, I know y'all don't perform anywhere because you said you guys are not used to getting on the mic or anything, but is that something in the future that you think you may do?
Yes, definitely. Well, we are currently in different states right now, too. So, like,
okay.
Far as, like, correlating on things, it's kind of hard sometimes. Like, I'm a full-time student I work full-time. So, like, trying to get schedules to align is kind of hard, but I can definitely see us venturing out there, especially if our co-authors are open to the idea.
So are you, okay. do you all have a piece that you ever, that you do together? Are you planning on collaborating to do something together?
We don't currently have one together, nor do we have plans before you brought the idea up, but it is a good idea.
Hey, I like that. Okay, I did see a picture. I was just informed of the look that she has. Okay, I got it.
Very beautiful.
I got it.
Very, very pretty young lady.
I must say, yes. Anyway, y'all need to take this because y'all got talent here. Okay, y'all got talent, and y'all can do so many things with it.
Yes.
Right.
I can see you doing a
like, but we did just the type
together.
Of stuff
that
we need,
great.
Though.
Yes.
Huh?
So I feel like this is the type of stuff that we need, like to hear from people who actually been doing this for a while. You know what I mean? And hear what people in the audience would like to hear and would like to get out of our poetry, because we can have like a topic that we would want to convey to people or our audience. But it's always good to get feedback, know how your audience will want it to be delivered, you know what I mean?
Right.
And that's
important.
And I don't think it's
right.
How they want it delivered. I think it's you want to be able to it's like a DJ when you go to the club, how the DJ picks up on the crowd and what to play music on, how he's picking it up. That's what you're going to have to learn how to do. You're going to have to learn how to pick up the audience, how they're feeling, and when you do your poetry. But the thing is if you're giving it the way you want it to be presented, they
right.
have to be able to feel where you're coming from, because that's the objective. You got to make them feel where you're coming from. Just like
right.
I feel when I write my books. People don't see me, okay?
Right.
They read what they see, or they read the characters that I create, and the characters that I create, I want them to be able to get something out of the characters. I want them to be livable and believable, that when they talk about these characters, that they think that these are real people.
Right.
Your objective with the poetry has got to be that they're feeling what you felt. Whether it's an orgasm, or he was pissed off, or you don't like something, like she was talking about the political thing, you know, if you don't like the country, where the country's going, or how politics are going, you want them to be able to feel what you're talking about. That's the
right.
objective.
And a lot of times, when you know, sometimes you may not even get anybody to pay attention to you until you do perform something. You could have plenty of books
That's
out
true.
There, but sometimes. After they see you perform, then they're like, you know what? I do want what you have. I am interested because you just gave them a visual. You, and I'm sure Norlita's probably already told you guys this, you are your brand. You are your brand. So you have to basically let people see a small portion of you through what it is that you're saying, through your words. You are the poetry. You are a walking poetry because you have all these words that you're going to convey and put out there for people to see, and you want them to get a you want them to get a visual on that, and you want them to understand and feel how you feel when you, so then that makes them say, you know what, I remember feeling like that. There's always somebody who can relate to you that's sitting out in your audience who can feel what it is that you're talking about if you
exactly.
give it to them, if you give it to them right.
Exactly.
So you guys are doing a great job.
Thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
DV,
what's up?
You still there, man?
He's asleep.
Because no. Because one thing I have to say, DV is not really a poet guy, but he does know what poetry is.
Yes.
You know, and the reason why I said it, because it's the truth. I mean, poetry is not something that stimulates you, like you said.
It's not his thing.
You know, but
like, you just like, he knows poetry. Like, I can spell it.
But you do. You feel it. But if it ain't giving you the cards, I mean, you don't give a fuck. But you don't give a fuck. I mean, unless it's bringing something to get your ass hard or something or whatever, you don't care.
Yeah, that's not.
He can spell poetry. He can.
He's a great author. I'm gonna tell you, this boy is an author though. He's a great author. He can write some shit. Okay. All right.
I will say this about poetry for DV. I am the only poet that he really likes.
Don't let that be what it is, okay? Because you're probably right. Because there's not a lot of poetry that's out there that he likes. But anyway, yeah.
Look, the DeMarcus and Cortez and Tony, he's really not a poet. But when he says he's not a poetry person. But when he says he doesn't really care for poetry, all I fear, because I have an ego, is that he likes my poetry.
And the only thing I say is, I'm not a poet either, but I understand the concept of it. Even though I ain't gonna get up there rewriting and saying no shit, but although I do have to even read, because my thing is, okay, I do erotic fiction and I do other genres of writing, but most of the time I'm called out because of the erotic fiction. So I do have to get up before it might be a room full of women that are having a passion party or something of that nature, or it could be an event that is erotic. I get up and read some things. I have to be able to present it in the way that I want them to be able to take it in.
Right.
So even though I'm not doing poetry, I have to stand up there and read the story the way the guy is saying to the woman or whatever's going on, the scene that's happening. Like, he saw her.
Yeah, that's
right. You got to be able to narrate it. The way he took her legs and opened them, you know, and slightly let the air touch her pussy lips or something. You know, something like that. You got to be able to you got
right.
to be able to get it. Yeah,
so
you can see the shit. That's the objective.
What's
right. And it doesn't mean, it doesn't have to be just erotica. Anything you write, if it's fiction or nonfiction or whatever you're trying to portray or project to someone, you have to be able to bring it to them in such a manner that they can close their eyes and they actually visualize what's going on, or they can see it before them, or even feel like they're in it. When you can do that.
Can I ask a question of each of them?
Go ahead.
Individually, I'll start with Tony. Ms. Tony Hodges, where do you see yourself in a year from now with your poetry?
A year from now, my poetry, hopefully, by then I have 3 more poetry books out. I would have made a lot of money off of them.
She said that word.
What do you
think? Inspired a lot of young poets out there to actually get out there and start pursuing their dreams with writing and with poetry. Hopefully, if it's fun, I'd be very successful with my book. And I'd be in a
week.
We'll see. Maybe it's fun.
Okay, before you let the other two answer, let me say this. I know Please don't say that that's your only reason why you're writing is because you want to get paid. Why don't you start echoing that? Damn. That's not your only objective, is it?
Excuse me?
That's not the only reason why you want to write is because you want to get paid, is it?
No, I was just, that's just one of the things. Of course I write because I love to do it.
Well, I don't know. I don't know that because you said you wanted to get paid.
Yeah, I
do. I'm trying to find out what's up, baby.
Huh?
You want to get paid? Go ahead, Cotton.
I was gonna say, what are you saying is that to only do this craft to get paid is you'll have a lot more letdowns than you want, and you don't want to go into it thinking that this will be a way for you to get paid. Of course, you can.
Right.
But your first passion has to be, I'm doing this because I love this. This is what I love doing.
Yeah,
right.
I like to be successful in doing what I like to do.
I can't hear her.
Me either. I thought it was just me. Okay, I'm not getting it.
I thought it was just me. I would like to be successful in writing. In a year's time, I do hope that I will be able to make a profit from my doing something that I like to do. I mean, if I'm putting my hard work and effort into it, I hope that people pick up the book and say, you know, this is a good poetry, she's a great writer, it will support me in my writing. That would be great.
Okay. What about the other two guys?
In a year from now, hopefully, realistically, my life is pretty, like, my schedule is pretty packed just by juggling school and work. So realistically, in a year, I definitely hope to be more comfortable with myself as a poet, to be able to convey my poetry out to the audience and to get people to feel what I'm trying to get them to feel. I'm not going to put any numbers on pieces that I feel like I'll be have put out by the end, and how much, you know, actual literature I'm going to push out. But definitely, I feel like I'll be more advanced as a poet, especially if I keep getting great critiques from people like the authors that we have on today and guys like you. I feel like I'll definitely be, you know, a step closer to being ready and being comfortable with my craft.
Great answer.
I mean, you know, when y'all, like, the best kept secret is the way to get better at you know, your craft is just to talk in the mirror. Just practice
right.
In the mirror your tone, your inflection, and how you want to recite your poetry. And all you have to do is, you know, practice what you're going to say and how you're going to say it, and you get better at it. It's like
right.
A sales pitch. You know, you think businessmen just walk in and, you know, in a meeting already know what they're going to say? No. They spend hours practicing in front of the mirror, a mirror, any mirror, you know, so that
right.
They can see, you know, their idiosyncrasies, how they're moving their hand. And some people tape themselves so they're not saying and like, you know, too many times, because, you know, those
exactly.
Are the things that you get caught up doing and saying. So
right.
That's all that's required. I mean, it doesn't really take a whole lot, just 5-10 minutes, you know, practice hand motion, practice your acting. So, type of poem is this? Is it romantic? Then you're going to have a romantic vibe. If it's political or passionate, you also want to have, you want to emote like that. You know what I'm saying? It, you know, and that's all you really need to do.
Okay, before we get to the last one, we may have a question from an audience member, someone in the audience. Let me see, area code 612, please don't hang up. Do you have a question? Do you have a question? Area code 612.
Oh, no, I'm just listening in.
All right, well, we thank you for listening. Please don't hang up.
Yeah,
right.
No, I'm actually a cousin with Cortez Chief, just listening to, you know, these young black men out here doing something positive with their life. It's really, you know, inspiring to the rest of the world.
All right, well, we thank you for calling in.
That's your cousin, not the exception.
There you go. And we thank you for supporting your cousin.
All right.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Who didn't speak? Was it Cortez that didn't respond?
No, that was me that responded.
Okay, so is it DeMarcus that needs to respond?
Yes, sir.
Okay, go ahead and respond.
In a year from now, I plan on releasing my second book, From the Mind of a Hanging Slave. And I really want to be able to touch my audience in a way that will encourage them to, you know, go out and learn more about themselves, about their culture, about their history, and just who they are. Because I understand, you know, what Tony was saying about wanting to get paid. We're in America, everybody wants to get paid. But I feel like if I can change one life, if I can touch one person, then that's worth more than, you know, exploiting a gift that was given to me by God.
Absolutely.
I like that, man. You had time to think about that one. That's good.
Yeah.
That's very good.
I heard him say that earlier, too, you know, about wanting to keep his life. So, you know.
And I'm going to come back to you because there was something that he said before you got on Cotton about when he did his first poem about women, and I know you thought I forgot, didn't you? The question about getting with, you know, how you gonna get these women to bring it to the table. You remember that question of that was asked that you said in your poem earlier? I think it was a statement you said that. Let me find it. What is it? It was something you said. You know, you was talking about how you can bring something or you can bring it to the table or some kind of way you was talking about it, and the chat room wanted to know the answer to that. Have you thought about that, what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about, right? You're saying you want to be able to touch women and you want to be able to give them what they want. If they tell you what they want, you'll be able to give it to them. How are you going to do that?
I mean,
what if they don't want to tell you what they want? What if they want you to figure it out?
Well, then, that's kind of what that's where the mental seduction part of it comes in. Because sometimes it's just like learning anything else. Running a woman is like learning anything else. You can't necessarily have somebody tell it to you. You have to feel it from them. You have to draw it out of them.
Okay, so how are you going to do that? How are you going to do that?
With his finger. Hey, they don't care what he say. He be fucking with you, bro.
No, you don't care what I say.
Yeah, I know he's fucking with you, bro.
I'm just trying to, if you're going to write erotica or you're going to come at somebody with poetry, erotic poetry, and you're talking about stimulating and all this shit, I want to know how you're going to do this shit.
Right. If that's like your main thing, I definitely feel like that's the reason why you like owned it like that. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
Now you're trying to put it on me. It's not me.
No, there are many ways to do that, to market. And in your growing years,
Let me say this real quick before Cotton, so you can get the background of this, because we've got like 20 minutes. The only reason why I'm even on this subject is because his first poem was erotica.
Right.
He brought this shit. I didn't ask him to do that. So why am I fucking with him? I want him to be able to tell me how he's going to get these women hot and shit, and how he's going to get them to give him what he wants. If he don't know how to do that, he can't even explain how he's going to write the poetry that's going to do that. That's what I'm saying.
You're right. You're right.
That's all I'm saying. Don't write something you don't know nothing about.
Like,
go get some research on it and then come back with it. That's all I'm saying.
One is not a prerequisite of the other. You can have a romantic mind and never have been with a woman. You know what I'm saying? You can always imagine the things that you want to do and the things that you would say.
The intellectual answer from DV Head. Okay, I want to. Come on, man. I'm not trying to get that. I'm trying to get the brother to understand that if he's going to come in that way, he has to know what he's talking about.
this
because you can tap dance with younger women like that, but you can't
okay,
do
why don't
with
you just be like,
look,
go out and get laid, and the feeling that you have when you get laid, roll over and write the poem. There you go.
I hope you fuck something by now, 21, but I mean, I don't know. I'm just, that ain't what I'm saying.
Correction. You can tap dance with girls like that. You can never tap dance with a woman like that.
Yeah.
Okay, we got 20 minutes. We got. Go ahead, finish your statement, Cotton, and then after that, I want to try to get one more poem in from each one if I can. I know it's gonna be hard, but go ahead, finish your statement.
As I said, for DeMarcus, because we're kind of on DeMarcus right now. So, DeMarcus, when you're in your growing time, because you're 21, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So as you're growing, you're going to pick up on all of those things that Red is trying to get you to pull out. The more you deal with, even if it's only one woman, the more you deal with that one woman, you'll find those different ways of pulling things out of her without ever even touching her. You'll be able to make love to her. You'll be able to make her have an orgasm. You'll be able to make her smile without ever touching her. You don't have to go out and buy anything. It'll be based off of how you talk to her and how you treat her.
And that's making love with her to her mind.
So you'll progress there, and then in a year or two from now, you can come back on Red's show and say, I got this.
And then I will say, yes, Grasshopper, you have it, Grasshopper. I'm going to ask you to grab the damn erotic fiction thing out of my hand, and once you take that pebble out of my hand, then I know that you have it, Grasshopper. Okay. But you'll get it, man. I'm just trying to get you to see that you really got to know what's up when you do this, because you got to come correct. You can't just come good-sounding things, because you can say stuff that sound good and ain't saying shit. We want you to be able to have some substance in what you're saying. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, and the other, let me say this, if I can speak on Red and DB's behalf. The reason why that we're speaking on this, because we talk, normally in our second half, we would have talked about some type of relationship issue. We talk about relationships a lot, and what we've come to understand is that a lot of people don't understand what it takes to have a good relationship, or even it, as far as a man and a woman concerned, and our young people have gotten away from what love is like. I talk about love a lot. We've gotten away from what love is like, where you should be sexually in your life if you are sexual. I'm not asking, but just don't be so. Most people today are so quick to hop in the bed with somebody opposed to not even knowing their last name. And so because you're putting out a message, and even though it is erotica, it is a part of the lovemaking process. It is a part of having a good relationship with somebody. So this is why this is an issue. This is why we're on this topic, really, so much so, because we want to make sure that our young people aren't confused and don't know what they're talking about when you're up talking to people, or when you're putting out information that's coming from you specifically or whomever.
Yep, that is true. Now, what I'm going to do, we got 17 minutes left. Y'all got two. Do each one of y'all have a short piece that you can give real quick? Because I think Tony dropped. So you two guys, do y'all have one little small piece you can give, a piece?
I have one.
Okay, go ahead.
This one's from my next book, From the Mind of a Hanging Slave. It's called Dinner Time.
Okay.
The people that will tell you that this man ain't hard are the same ones that will tell you that a man made God. See, I'm not trying to be an idol or a man-made guy. I'm just fighting for survival against these man-made odds. When I was 20, they said I had a year before I was supposed to go. But they can't keep me from somewhere I'm supposed to go. Walking younger militant, all of a sudden remembering, I got to tell my people something they weren't supposed to know. You are the kings and queens of everything on God's green. Images in the history books are painting the wrong thing. We built it before they stole it. Then they told us that they own it. They'll say they discovered a land like nobody was on it. They'll enslave the children, rape the women, take the fields and ravage them, kill the men, and teach all of the kids that they were savages. They did it to the Indians, and they did it to the Africans. But they're labeled heroes, and the kids don't know the half of it.
America is the product, and they tell you that they made it, that they made it without it. But they never would have made it without it. Paved the streets, built the house, planted the flowers. Stand up and take it back, just demand that it's ours. Turn off the television to disregard the media, convincing us into thinking that the wrong ones are leading it. Glorifying a stereotypical image, drugs go out and deal them. That's what they tell to the children. If you don't like them, you kill them. If they're going to fight, go fight with them. All the real niggas are dead or locked in the building. The system will teach you that these are the role models. So stick to your roles. These are your roles. Follow. Get it. Have you got it? Good. The only way you'll ever make it is selling your soul to Hollywood. Be a millionaire or stay in the slums, dog. Body man. You ain't got to take this deal we offer. It's probably should. That's our belief system? So we ain't got no beef with them? When a piece of beef will make us beef with our own children? I can't tell you how to live, so I just let it be. I put the food on the table, but it's up to you to eat.
Yeah, you see how you deal with enthusiasm?
Yeah.
Now, I got that. I got that because you did that with heart and enthusiasm because you wanted me to get something out of that. And I got that.
Right. I like that. That came.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. I think he dropped, though. Dang. Did he do it?
Okay, I'm
oh, okay. Well, somebody just dropped 317. That must have been the other brother. I thought you dropped your mic and shit and walked off the stage. I didn't know. You know how you just walked the fuck off? I didn't know. Shit. I was like, you know. But I like the way you did that with enthusiasm. And that's how you got to do it. You wrote that like that, and you gave it to us like that.
You gave it to us. You sure did.
Yeah. Okay. So the other brother is gone. I don't know if he's coming back. But do you have anything that you want to say or that you want to share with us that on what your experience being on here or something of that nature?
I definitely enjoyed it. It was a little touchy at first, you know, and I definitely was pretty nervous. But all the criticism that was given, you know, it's already helped me. As you can see from the beginning of the call to the end of the call. So I definitely feel a little bit more comfortable with it. And I feel like it was, you know, part of what I needed to kind of jumpstart me in the direction that I need to go as far as performing my work and conveying it audially to my audience.
Okay.
As well as the written aspect.
Yeah, like,
wow.
In all honesty, man, all that's really required is a level of conviction. How convinced are you in what you're saying? You know, and that's what poetry is. If you believe everything that you're saying, we're going to believe it. If at any point you don't believe it, we ain't going to believe it either.
He is always coming with that philosophy. That motherfucker, boy, I love you, boy.
No, but that's real talk.
No, but you got what you're saying. I agree with you saying. I just like how you always come. I just like your personality, and that's why I'm so glad you're on my show. This is our show. And I'm just so glad that you're part of this show, man, I tell you, because the way you be coming with that shit, I just...
Yeah,
but anyway,
I be leaving for that ball from out of right field. Like, I'm gonna catch it.
You know, it's always I'm this guy. He's the what is it? The devil's advocate or whatever. But it's good. And Cotton is like the smoother. She smooths it over.
Smooth operator.
Yeah,
she gonna be shy.
Right. So yeah, are you still here, Cotton? Or is she gone? I think she ended up dropping. But anyway. So, yeah, we thank you for coming on. We got about 12 minutes, and I think we have our lady friend, Ms. Tony, back. Tony, are you there? I'm trying to get you on. Hold on. Are you there? You can speak now.
Cortez. I got kicked off.
Yeah, you there. I got you now. Okay,
no,
did you have one little point, a little piece?
No.
Is that Cotton?
Yes.
Oh. Okay, there's 313 here as well. Are you here?
Yeah.
So is that Tony or is that Cotton? Oh, okay. Well, my keyboard. Well, I talk radio is fucking up tonight. But anyway, all right. So Cotton,
I was gonna ask the fellas, do y'all feel like y'all on American Idol right now? Like,
some of the judges.
Right.
I don't. I actually feel like I'm at the table right now, and I'm talking to
my superiors in this game, so it's like I feel comfortable there.
You know, when Red was talking, I kinda got that visual when he was like, yeah, DP bring the philosopher and then Cotton, you know, she kinda smoothed it over.
Kinda sounded like
a Simon Randy and Paula type thing right there.
Right, exactly.
But you know, that's what we do. We're here to help people, and that's what we do on the show. We're not here to, yeah, we do dog some people sometimes, but it's not because we will hate them or we're hating on them. We just want them to understand that if you're going to do this, you got to have passion and heart in what you're doing,
right?
Whether it's poetry or writing or whatever. I mean, and nothing against Tony. I don't know if she's. I don't see her number anymore. I guess she's gone. But I don't have anything against her wanting to get paid. That's fine.
Yes.
But you can't make that the main objective because this is not get rich. This game here is not a get rich quick scheme. If you need that, then you need to go find something else because this ain't
get rich at all. Like name a rich.
That's
coach.
What I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So, you know, you just gotta do this because you love it, and then everything else will come along with that.
Right.
Right.
Definitely.
But you know,
definitely.
I
the poets on tonight. I've enjoyed you guys. Definitely. So I can't wait.
And y'all gonna be after Christmas, y'all gonna be on her show, so y'all got time to prepare. Y'all know what she's gonna be bringing this shit. And we thank Nolita because she has definitely been working with you, and I thank her for getting you guys on the show. And we want her to come back too. And like I said, you know, it's about y'all trying to learn and build and grow in this thing. You know, that's what we try to do on Word Sexy. A lot of people think, oh, Word Sexy, all they're going to do is talk about fucking. Well, we do. But we talk about other things as well. You know what I'm saying? You know, we do talk about sex.
Yeah, we talk about
police. We talk about all that shit. You know, we talk about women getting over on men as well as men getting over on women. And, you know, the 90-day rule, which I despise that shit. And all that.
I think
we talk about all that.
This is the PG-13 episode tonight, man, huh?
Well, I guess we didn't really go like we normally do because we wanted to give it to you guys. But when you come back again, you come hard and shit with your poetry, and then we'll talk shit about some fucking. I know people that are listening. They're probably just tired of me cussing. I'm sorry if I cuss too much. But this is my show, so if y'all don't like it, y'all can just... you know, you ain't got to listen. But I want you. I love people that listen. I'm sorry. I do have an audience that follows the explicit show. But, you know, it's just like if you was listening to XM radio and it was Foxo and Jamie Foxx was talking shit every 5 minutes, you know. It's the same thing.
It is.
That's it.
Because Tony's not on here anymore, right? She dropped off.
Yeah,
woo-hoo,
she did. And the chat room, but, you know, the chat room wants to know this. And since you're the only one left, this question is going to go to you. They want to know, what is your opinion of the 90-day rule? And you got 7 minutes to answer this question.
7 minutes.
I feel like the 90-day rule is bullshit. I think that women pretty much know what they want from a dude when they meet him, or after a couple of conversations at the most. And I feel like with the 90-day rule, most dudes will pretend to like you for 90 days to get some pussy. Like we'll pretend to like you for 90 days, and then on day 91, we could be gone, just like that. So now you have your feelings invested because you didn't have 90 days worth of us pretending, and we still don't care. Whereas you could have gave it up on day 91. And still, you know, got the same effect or got a different. So I think it just doesn't really make sense.
And you're right to a point, but what if it was reversed? What if it's a female that's going to do that shit to your ass? You trying to be the 90-day rude person, thinking that's what she wants. She gets a little early, and then she drops your ass. Then what the fuck?
Well, I'm not trying to be that person, so I can't.
I just feel like...
See, brothers don't want to get dropped. They don't want to get dropped. They want to drop the woman and shit. That's like Boomerang. That movie Boomerang was perfect.
I don't really think so.
I just feel like that 90 day rule, I don't think you should put any kind of numbers on, like, emotions. However you feel, whatever you feel like doing at whatever point, I feel like that's what you should do. I mean, you base that on your own judgment. If you grown, you know what you don't want to fuck with and what you do want to fuck with. So
I like that, because if you grown, I think that if you find, meet somebody that night and y'all want to fuck and y'all can handle it, y'all shoot it.
Right. Like, to me, it's to put numbers and time frames on shit in life is dumb, because life is not long enough to be fucking around like that. So if you want to do what you want to do, however you feel you want to, you know, fuck with somebody the next day, then do it. Do it.
Very true. But I like your answer.
Y'all have grown up on World 60 Radio.
This is why we have a 2-hour show.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm going to just throw my yeah.
So yeah, there you go.
Are either of you dating?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
So you understand.
So y'all women are listening to the show now. You know, y'all done bust y'all shit out. They're going to be on y'all when y'all get off the show. What do you mean?
No.
You ain't real and all that. You're
right here
on
the next. You right here in the next room with me. We live together.
Oh, damn. So you already in. You already committed. Ain't no 90-day rule. It's every day damn thing. Okay.
Well, right.
No wonder.
But I'm
shit.
Just saying.
It's a 90-minute rule. Maybe it's a 90-minute rule.
So y'all probably went to see the damn movie together.
It's not a 90-day. It's a 90-second rule now, right?
Right.
It ain't Jack Rose.
Well, this is what I want to do, because we only got 4 minutes left. I want to give you guys a chance to tell people how they can get in contact with you if they need you to come out and do some poetry, or if they want to, you got a book coming out and they want you to be able to get it. Give us some information on that.
Currently, I don't have any anything coming out, but you know, in order to get in touch with me at Facebook at Cortez Skeech, spelled SKEEHC, just my last name backwards. That's like the main way to get in touch with me. If anybody out there wanna make comments or any make any requests or anything like that, and I appreciate
you guys
having me on the show, man.
You guys have any websites or anything like that?
Well, they have a publishing company that they belong to, right?
Oh, Brown Essence Incorporated .com, BrownEssence.com. That's where you can get access to all our.
You gotta put your publisher out there now, because
that's
what's on your ass.
Yeah.
No, you're fucking really your ass off.
No, this is Brad.
Right, I she'll be swinging that bill like nunchucks.
I want to make sure that she know that I asked y'all what the damn name of the damn publishing company was, so she won't be
right.
Getting on my ass. Okay. All right. So, DeMarcus, how can they get you, bro? Or was that you that just spoke?
That was Cortez.
Okay. So how can they get you if they need to get you?
You can contact me on Facebook, DeMarcus Glassford, DMARCUS. You can contact me on Twitter, at DGlassfordPoetry. You can email me, DGlassfordPoetry@gmail.com, or you can go to my publisher's website, Brown S. Publishing. Shout out to Norita Brown for giving us this opportunity.
Yes, yes, yes. Please shout out to her. Okay, we got 2 minutes. Cotton, you got anything you want to say real quick? Are you still there? Or are you gone? Okay, she's still there. She probably did some. No, she's still there. Okay, so what you got, babe? Say something.
Thank
you got anything
you
want to say real quick?
Show. I enjoyed you guys. I can't wait to have you on my show.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
What you got, DB?
Man, you know, I always like having fun. I always love picking fun at y'all, at myself, you know. So, you know, it's Monday, so Mondays are the bane of my existence, but at least I get to do this.
Right.
Okay. Well, you know, now, DB, you're going to have a question for next week's show. I forget who the authors that are coming on next week.
Cherry next week.
No, Cherry is not going to make it until December 3rd.
Okay.
She won't be on until December 3rd. But so you know, I thank you guys for coming on the show. And once you've been on Word Sexy, you can always come back. And I need to find out real quick because people want to know who's coming on next week. I need to do that real fast. I'm going to do that real quick. Who is coming on next week? It's going to be, hold on, I'm waiting on my Excel spreadsheet. Next week we're going to have, who the hell? Oh, we're going to have Tria Abraham and Shawanda Pug. They're going to be on. That's who's coming on. So, yeah.
I'm going to have to do some research because I don't know who the hell that is.
Yeah, I know. I have some idea who they are. We're going to have to do some research, right? But, you know, we get publicists to call and ask, and we let them come on. So those are people that are coming. And one of them was supposed to come on before and didn't, so we may have to, you know,
oh, man, they get the boot. Man, forget that. Like, you don't show up, you get X'd.
Yeah, you
get X'd. That is true. So that's what we're going to do. But we thank
Which
y'all
one?
For coming on.
So I know who to cuss out.
Pug.
I mean, be nice.
Miss Pug, that's who it was.
All right.
But we thank y'all for coming on, so y'all, we gonna do this thing with Mr.
My first question,
Mr.
Who the fuck you think you is? Not showing up. Question right there.
All
you got
right.
It. Heard it.
Okay. But we thank y'all for coming, and we gonna see y'all next week.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye.